Hello, everyone, and welcome to Celebrating Cinema, a podcast for the love of cinema. I'm your host, Laura Gelmans, and I'm here with Gyriko Mechanicus to talk about Christmas. Tis the season, so we just want to talk about holiday classics, whether we love or hate them, some standout favorites, and some alternative festive films, maybe? But before we begin, I'd love to share some cool things going on in the coming weeks here at Lab 111 in Amsterdam. I'm just checking in to see if you got your tickets for our 9th birthday party on the 19th of December. The theme is going to be 9 lives, and you're encouraged to dress up, you know what that means. And to coincide, check out our Felines in Film program, including Breakfast at Tiffany's, Shrek 2, and a sing-along of the awful movie Cats, just basically anything that has cats in it. Okay, Gyriko, Christmas. How are we feeling Christmas. About Christmas movies? Okay, I feel like there's a complicated opinion coming.
Yeah, I am not a hater of Christmas necessarily, but also definitely not a lover of Christmas. I think this is primarily because I don't have a big family who I sit around the table with to celebrate the whole mm-hmm. ordeal. I would say, generally speaking, during Christmas, me and my mother decide to not cook, mostly get snacks.
Amazing.
And watch films that we want to watch.
That sounds like such a healthy balance. I just feel like where most Christmas celebrations go wrong is stress around cooking from especially mothers, maybe.
Yes.
So ordering in sounds lovely. What kind of movies do you sit around and watch?
I think it has nothing to do with Christmas, generally speaking. But the benefit of the practical benefit of Christmas is that you have the time
right.
to do whatever the fuck you want. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good moment to just like those general like Godfather 1, 2, 3 type of evenings. I think that is the moment to do that. I remember one time me and my mom, but I was quite young, did like the very girly teenage pop thing of ordering macarons and then watching Marie Antoinette.
Oh my God.
Which I think maybe now looking back on it, I should do that more often.
The girliest.
Yeah.
It's delightful.
Yeah. How about you?
I love Christmas.
You have a nice Christmas hat on your hat on your head.
I know
head.
It's so Christmassy. Yeah, I just really like Christmas. I'm not religious. I grew up religious because I'm from the South, and that's just what you do. You're just like, you're born into Catholicism, and that's basically what happens. So I have not really any warm memories from like being in the church, but I do love sitting at home and watching maybe like the dumbest Christmas movie there is. Mm. So like, I'm a sucker for a Hallmark movie. I'm a sucker for like the shitty movies that Netflix releases every year that might have like Vanessa Hudgens or Lindsay Lohan. And it's always the same story where, also basically it goes against everything I believe in. And I think that's why it's maybe like cosplaying as traditional, but it's always about a lady from the big city and she's always talking on her flip phone or something. And she just like, she goes home for Christmas to her small town and then she runs into this guy who's like maybe a lumberjack and maybe they know each other from school.
From
and she's
school.
Like, ugh, James, you were always such an asshole. And then they have to overcome a small obstacle, like the bake sale can't happen because old man John's mill is going to collapse or something. And then
the car breaks down as well.
Oh my God. And then they have to solve it together. And then he teaches her the meaning of Christmas and then maybe becoming a trad wife. I don't know. So it's
delicious.
Delicious. It's so delightful.
What is the meaning of Christmas?
What is the meaning of
Christmas? To become a trad wife.
To become a trad wife, obviously, Elliot. Yeah, I think according to those movies, it all feels very like traditional. But what I like about it is kind of the ritual and, you know, the songs. It's, again, we should have a nostalgia buzzer because it's also the nostalgia
100%.
Element. It's the hot chocolate. It's the Christmas trees. It's the complete and utter predictability of these stories that makes it such a lovely, like, you had a big lunch and then you're going to sit on the couch with a blanket and then your dad's going to be on his iPad and then your mom's going to kind of be running around the house and you're just kind of like half watching this Christmas. I don't know. There's something so cozy.
It sounds good. Yeah.
And then you're just like eating lots of cookies. I don't know. There's something that I really love about it.
Mm.
But also maybe because Christmas is this very set time of year where you reflect on the year and it's a bit sentimental and nostalgic. And I don't know. I should talk to my therapist about it, but I really love Christmas.
I think a lot of people have the connection of cinema and Christmas every year. I feel like it's very much a second day of Christmas activity, no? This idea that
the Christmas
thing
movies?
That you just described of being on the couch and your dad being on the iPad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a dad, but I feel like I've lived this. Like, I feel like I know it so well.
Yeah.
But what do you think is the moment in your life that this started? Do you remember the first Christmas movie on the second day of Christmas when your father did not have an iPad yet? But
nope, because I'm older than that. But yes, I do. And I think it is also the start of me being a hardcore rewatcher. I think growing up, you know, before the age of streaming, it was just like, okay, in the week around Christmas, they'd have Home Alone, they'd have Elf, and like all of these different Christmas movies. Gremlins is a big one for my family that you would just like every year sit down, oh, it's on, and you just kind of like catch up somewhere in the second commercial break, and you're like, hey, let's roll with this. I could just watch them every year, like Muppet Christmas Carol. I watch every year just because it's cozy and nice. And also because I genuinely believe that that is one of the best movies ever made.
Would you say your favorite Christmas movie?
Yes.
Maybe for those of us, including myself, who are not into the Muppets, could you give a little bit of why this is the best movie in the world?
I think what makes it so great is, well, first of all, I love the Muppets. That's okay. So that's already like a point on Muppet Christmas Carol's behalf. But what's so good about Muppet's Christmas Carol is that Michael Caine plays the only human in the movie. And he plays it with...
You might actually have to explain what Muppets are for some listeners.
Really, Elliot?
Maybe. Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I know.
The Muppets are... technically, they're puppets, but we all just accept as humans that they are what they are. They are alive and they exist. And that's one thing I love about the Muppets. So, you know, Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Gonzo. If not, please give it a Google. I'm sure you've seen them. And then Muppet Christmas Carol is, I think, one of the most faithful retellings of Charles Dickens' book. But it just happens in such a silly, goofy way. The sets are amazing. But what makes it so great is that Michael Caine plays it with the seriousness as if he was playing in the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Wow.
Let us deal with the eviction notices for tomorrow, Mr. Cratchit.
Tomorrow's Christmas, sir.
Very well. You may gift wrap them.
He never plays for laughs, which makes it so great because he's so earnest about it. And then what's this thing? It's like, oh, this is my old job. This is my first job. It's Fozziwig's Rubber Chicken Factory. And he says it with these like misty eyes and it makes you emotional. And he's like, he just said Fozziwig's Rubber Chicken Factory. What do you mean? It's hilarious, but I also always cry.
You do go there for a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope that
yes.
I think is, you know, an essential part of Christmas, I would say.
I think, yeah, because like a Christmas Carol, the traditional story is, I think, something we should implement if there's higher powers that are listening to this podcast right now. It basically takes a cranky billionaire, or he's not a billionaire in that time, but he's really rich. He's the richest man in town, but he's stingy as hell. He makes people work on Christmas Day and he's really mean and everybody hates him. Then at night he gets visited by three ghosts, the ghosts of Christmas past, the ghosts of Christmas present, and the ghosts of Christmas future. And they basically walk him through his life going, hey, like, remember when you were young and this is probably why you hate Christmas. And hey, look at this now. They kind of like walk through his life and everyone's talking about him behind his back, saying that he's such a mean man. And then the ghost of Christmas future shows him that he's basically going to die alone and no one's going to mourn him. And then he wakes up on Christmas Day and he's like, fuck, I need to change everything about my life. I'm going to be the most generous man.
Is this film about me? Like, I never got to have the proper Christmas celebration as a child, so that's why I'm like,
I don't know.
So
I wouldn't consider you evil necessarily, so I don't know if you need it. It's more this thing is like, oh my God, if we could just do this to Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, like, can we, like, ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future them? Because by the end of it, he's like, I see it now, and I want to give to the poor, and basically it's an anti-capitalist.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Jesus Christ. Fucking Christ. Wow.
So yeah, I think that could also be a thing about Christmas movies, that a lot of them are about sharing and caring about each other and finding community and capitalism and, you know, those things.
Yeah, there's not a lot of moments in our lives where we pay enough attention to looking at stories that tell us how to care for others.
Right.
I guess it's
quite radical.
It's quite the occasion for it.
Yeah.
Wow, I will watch this film this
Muppet
Christmas.
Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Oh, do it. It's really, it's like 85 minutes or something.
That's nothing.
It's a breeze. It's hilarious.
Wow.
I think you'll like it. My sweater is also from Muppet Christmas Carol. So
I thought it was just cute, but.
It is also just cute, but it is a reference to one of the songs.
Oh my God.
It has great songs. Anyway, this is my 15-minute TED Talk on the Muppet Christmas Carol and why it's great. So, like, if we're talking traditional Christmas movies, Gremlins, Home Alone, is that something that means anything to you?
No.
Do you know? Okay, so do you know what any of those are? Like, but do you have any, like, nostalgic connection to those movies?
Yes, yes, yes. I think I did. So the traditional Christmas movies that were watched in my household when I was a child, I definitely watched Home Alone multiple times. Loved it also.
Marv.
Harry?
Why the hell did you take your shoes off?
Why the hell you dressed like a chicken?
I'm up here, you morons! Come and get me! You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
It's funny because when I think about it, Home Alone is about this, still a kid experiencing Christmas by himself, no? Isn't that?
Yeah, he gets, Kevin gets left behind.
Yeah. Because
there's like 1,000 children. And then they do a head count and they're like,
yes,
okay, it's fine.
They're
like,
smoking in the plane. And then, yeah.
So Kevin's left behind and he has to battle these two burglars who are like, oh, these people aren't around for Christmas. This rich ass neighborhood. We're going to break into this
Trump
house.
Trump was there at some point.
That's Home Alone 2.
Yep.
Trump
New
was
York.
There.
Yes.
Famous actor, Donald Trump.
Yeah. So I think that's Home Alone. I loved, watched many times. Another film that we watched in my household during Christmas was Gone with the Wind. Because that's, I think, is it, maybe it's just my family, but I think that's a traditional Christmas thing. No, you watch it during Christmas.
I'm not sure. I've never seen it.
All right. It's boring as hell. Maybe I saw it as a child. So then, I mean, it's extra boring, but I don't think anything about it.
Isn't it also super long? So it's like one of those
Mega
movies that
long.
Feels like it takes all day, like The Sound of Music. Where you're like, it's still fucking going.
Yeah. It's mega long. So those two Christmas movies I can think of now. Another Christmas movie that I don't think I necessarily watched during Christmas, but love a lot, and maybe is not about hope, but it is definitely about something else, is
can't wait to hear what's coming.
Is Eyes Wide Shut.
Christmas movie. It is.
It is a Christmas movie.
It has Christmas lights. And
Christmas.
Yes.
And Red Velvet, which I feel like is also very Christmassy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they go and buy gifts, which is a Christmas thing.
Yeah. Is Eyes Wide Shut a Christmas movie?
It is. Yeah. It literally is.
Yeah. Why the hell not? I always think this is one of those things that really annoys me about the internet sometimes I think Die Hard's a Christmas movie and that's my controversial take. And it's like, that's about as controversial a take as saying you don't like pineapple on pizza.
Yeah,
it's
literally.
Like, that's such an internet opinion.
Yeah.
I think something
for yourself.
Set a Christmas, it's a Christmas movie by your rules as well. If something's about giving or whatever, and it could be on during Christmas.
What is given in Eyes Wide Shut?
Well, not Eyes Wide Shut, but just like a movie that might not necessarily be a Christmas movie, but a movie that is on at Christmas.
Mean Girls is a Christmas movie.
It can be.
It is. They wear Santa hats.
Yes, that is true. So Mean Girls is a Christmas movie. I think anything and everything can be a Christmas movie if it wants to be.
That's why I am now going to introduce a new Christmas movie.
Okay, let's go.
To the people who are, again, not looking for hope. However, if you want to get in tune with this feeling of you just had like this great dinner and you feel almost so sick to your stomach, where you're like, why did I eat so much? I never feel like this. What a particular feeling. And then you want to enhance that sort of like sick to your stomach, but also I'm like really full with all this delicious food that I ate. I think that the film called La Grande Boeuf, which is a film from the 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. by Marco Ferrari, is a great film to watch on the second day of Christmas or after your Christmas lunch. It's a film about the French bourgeoisie, mm-hmm. a group of 5-6 friends who decide that they're going to eat themselves to death.
Amazing. What a dream.
What a dream. And they have a lot of money, so they can really do this properly. So they go to like this land house. It's winter, very cold, Christmas. And they order 300 oysters, 500 pastries, mountains of potato puree. It's really exactly like the one thing you do for Christmas. However, their intention is to really
to die.
Pick a fork, oyster, 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 have 12 oysters on their fork and put it in their mouth all at once.
I can imagine you love it because it makes you feel not as bad about what you just did at the table. It's like, hey, well, I guess I ate a lot, but it wasn't
exactly.
that.
Exactly, I'm not the only one. And also, my intentions are not suicide with this meal, so it makes you feel better about yourself.
What's the conflict that happens in this movie that makes you love it?
One thing that is really beautiful about this film is that you see all these things and they make your mouth water in the beginning of the film. You're like, damn, like forking 12 oysters and putting them in your mouth all at once, that sounds beautiful. And then they do it a second time, and then they do it a third time. And then they continue on doing this in the film in such extreme matters that it becomes really disgusting to the point where you realize that the riches of having this life is maybe the most disgusting thing right. that you could go for in life. So it has like this beautiful critique on gluttony, on glamour, on this bourgeoisie lifestyle. It's a beautiful film. I highly recommend you watch it.
Adding it to the watch list as we speak.
Maybe before I move towards this, anything can be a Christmas movie philosophy.
Not like you're already there.
Yeah, well, maybe we should move back. That's what I'm saying. What else is there in the traditional Christmas sphere that has to be considered?
I mean, I think It's a Wonderful Life is...
I have never seen
it. It's a big one. It's great. It's depressing as hell.
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary.
I'll take it.
It's basically a guy that wants to kill himself and then like an angel comes and he kind of walks through his life if he hadn't been there. And then at the end, he's like, oh, maybe I won't kill myself. Am I saying it right? That's basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
In a nutshell.
He's a father about to go bankrupt.
Do you guys like this film?
It's great.
Yeah?
It is great. It is depressing as hell. And I always chuckle a little bit when I see it listed in like Christmas feel-good movies. It's like, yeah, I guess in the end it's good because he doesn't kill himself. But also the whole way leading up to that is it is kind of depressing. But it's really good. It's great.
And so he gets saved by an angel, by Jesus Christ, like essentially?
Not Jesus Christ. It's an angel. It's this really cool, like they do this zoom out and you basically see the universe and then you see like, I guess gods, or you hear gods just kind of like talking to each other. Like, oh, maybe we should send this angel because this ain't going to go great for him. And I think that's a lovely movie, but I do think it is funny that it's become like canon as like one of the great sit around with your family and watch this Christmas movie.
I read a good Easter egg about it. So James Stewart, who's the main actor in it.
Good old Jimmy Stewart.
He's in a lot of Hitchcock films. The moment where he's sort of pleading to the angel or to be killed basically wasn't scripted, and it was actually part of his post-traumatic stress disorder of him breaking down after having fought in the Second World War and him living with PTSD from that.
Dark.
Wow. Sounds too good to be true.
Oh, no.
But, okay, so wait, because Jesus Christ...
It's basically
birthday. Aren't all Jesus films also essentially Christmas movies?
The Last Temptation of Christ, for example.
Christmas movie?
Isn't The Last Temptation of Christ more about the end?
Yeah.
Rather.
It's not about the birth.
But it's still birthday.
Are there movies about the birth of Christ? Isn't there a new one coming up with, I can't believe I'm saying this, Nicolas Cage and FKA Twigs, where they play Mary and Joseph?
What?
What?
Okay, I need to look this up because...
That would be amazing.
Let me just quickly look this
Nicolas
up.
Nicolas Cage as Mary and FK Twigs as
Joseph.
The Carpenter's Son, it's... Yes.
No way!
A remote village in Egypt explodes into spiritual warfare when a carpenter, his wife, and their son, Jesus, are targeted by supernatural forces. It's a movie that's coming out... Well, in the US, it got released in November. I haven't seen it slated for the Netherlands, but... Be sat when that happens. It looks weird and dark, and he basically kind of looks like his character in Mandy because he's just covered in blood. Yeah, so that's maybe a Christmas movie. Oh, I want to talk about The Holdovers.
Right.
Because that is a new movie, relatively, that has immediately catapulted itself into Christmas tradition for me.
You two were unreachable. He was all alone at Christmas. I thought the kid should see his father.
It felt so old school.
It's like, it's so lived in. It's like it's always been around and you just hadn't seen it before.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I liked it.
Question mark.
No, I think I liked it. It did, but No, I don't remember really that much. I remember being very comforted, which I felt like is an experience that I don't have very often in the cinema.
Yeah.
Maybe because I just don't go for these films. Maybe I should
Go and watch Elf when it comes to theaters. It's really good. It's basically Paul Giamatti plays a teacher at a boarding school. And then all the kids go home for Christmas, except the kids that don't really have families or their families don't want them for Christmas. So a couple
this
of kids
is the narrative, though.
Stay
this
over.
Is the Christmas narrative, right? Because this is the being alone on that day is really the worst thing.
It's the worst thing because everyone's with their families and you're alone. And this kid has to stay over at school and all the other kids kind of get picked up. And then it's just him and this teacher that gets stuck with taking this shift every year because he doesn't have a family. And then the lunch lady.
Right, who's amazing.
Who's amazing, Davi Joy Randolph, and her son died in the war. So the three of them spend Christmas at this boarding school, and it's the traditional, like, they hate each other at first, but then, of course, they start seeing the good parts about each other, and they grow close, and then... It's so good. I love it so much. I think that is a perfect movie. Mm. Yeah, Elliot, what's your relationship to Christmas and Christmas movies?
I'm not a huge fan of Christmas. Mm. I think it never lives up to the hype. There's always like this sense of build up and then it just falls flat maybe. But maybe because just of the Christmases that I've had. And I don't really watch many Christmas films other than It's a Wonderful Life because it also feels a bit more... genuine or real and not very more less of like this let's make a Christmas film but more the time where people reflect.
Should we make a documentary where I teach you the meaning of Christmas?
Yes.
I think
you guys need some Christmas magic. Yeah.
I think you need some happiness in your life.
Maybe you should watch The Grinch.
What's my problem? Have I been intentionally avoiding the Christmas movie my whole life because I'm a pessimist?
Could be. Could be.
Is that what this is all about?
Maybe if you just opened your heart to the spirit of Christmas, maybe the Grinch would resonate with you as a Christmas hater.
Maybe. Yeah, you're kind of Grinchy.
I don't know.
I'm not a hater. Again, I'm not a hater, but
I am closed off in certain ways. I find it hard to find hope and optimism in this world in general. So even when I do watch this hope manifest on screen, I don't buy it.
Because you're like, yeah, well, and then I turn off the TV and then the world is still shit.
Yeah. Fair.
Are there any directors we would like to see make a Christmas movie?
That's a great question.
Amazing. I don't know. I would love to see anyone and everyone's take on a Christmas movie. Like, let Villeneuve make a Christmas movie.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I just love to see what all the different takes on what this can be would be from all these different directors and what that would look like.
I would like to see Christopher Nolan do A Christmas Carol and still fuck up the time traveling aspects of that.
I would not want to see that.
I mean, I would go. I feel like everyone in this room knows
how I 2355, but we're on Mars and he's so confused and it's still his birthday.
Too complicated for you.
Oh, there's a hot girl. Oh, never mind. Let me continue with whatever the fuck I was doing.
Maybe the more serious one is maybe Noah Baumbach.
Has he not already done something that takes place around family and Christmas, like what Squid and the Whale and stuff? Yeah. That's Baumbach, right?
Yeah, that is Baumbach. Yeah.
I feel like that is, he is very family focused and like focused on family dynamics. So I guess Baumbach would just be quirky conversations around the table and then someone gets mad or sad.
Safdie Christmas, though.
Safdie Christmas.
Safdie Christmas. Party Supreme Christmas.
I mean, I would love to see the Safdies remake Jingle All the Way.
I don't know what Jingle All the Way is.
Jingle All the Way, let's go. Let's fucking go. Jingle All the Way is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Ooh.
In a family movie.
Wait, Danny DeVito? No.
No, I think it's Sinbad. And he he's a bit of an absent father.
Yeah.
His son wants Turbo Man. Turbo Man is a toy, basically like a superhero toy. It's that toy that when it releases, it sells out and dad forgot to get one. Now he has to get one.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'm trying to find the Turbo Man doll.
Me too.
Do you have any more in the back?
What?
What's he laughing at?
These guys are looking for a Turbo Man?
A gentleman dog, yes.
Basically, Uncut Gems.
The toy?
He gets into a lot of trouble.
Oh my God.
He even ends up in the Christmas Day Parade as Turbo Man for some reason. It's just a comedy of errors. And he, he needs to show up for his kid through consumerism.
The other one I watch is The Snowman.
What is that?
Frosty the Snowman?
No.
The stop motion or the...
The old, I think it's like a British animation. Yeah, The Snowman is an animation film. It's about a boy who builds a snowman and it comes to life.
Wow.
And they go flying together.
But they go flying together?
Yeah.
As snowmen do?
Yeah, as snowmen do. Which is really nice. The other one.
This is really nice.
It is. I recommend that
one. This reminds me of that Fever Dream Jack Frost.
Yes. That's the one I was just about to say.
That's the one. That's the one.
Do you know about this, Kiriko?
Enlighten me, please.
So, Michael Keaton is someone's dad. And he dies in a car crash? I'm just saying everything with a question mark because I'm not sure I remember correctly.
Yeah, he's driving home for Christmas.
He's driving home for Christmas. And then he dies. And then his son misses him and he builds a snowman. And then the snowman, his soul inhabits this snowman?
Yeah, the dad question comes mark? Back.
Charlie, it's me, Dad. Honest. I can explain everything.
Get away from me!
Well, I can't explain the part about me being a snowman, but... Charlie.
Weird as hell, and I don't remember what happens after, but...
They hang out and do all the things that his dad didn't get to do, of, like, playing ice hockey with him, but then...
So the Iceman is a better dad than the actual
pretty
dad.
Pretty much, yeah. And then...
But he melts, of course.
Exactly.
Oh, God, of course he
only
melts.
Only when he's ready. Only when the kid has had the experiences with the dad, I guess.
Oh, my God.
That was weird as hell. There's one Christmas movie that is so loved by so many. Not me.
Hated by you.
Yeah, I think Love Actually is one of those movies that comes back every Christmas. Everybody's like, it's time, we can watch Love Actually. And it's like, I hate everything about this movie.
I don't fuck with it either.
I can't watch it without going, Keira Knightley 17, Keira Knightley 17, Keira Knightley 17. And just like, how are we supposed to... So that main storyline with the Keira Knightley married that guy, then that guy's best friend shows up at the door being like, actually, I'm in love with you. And we're supposed to go, oh, that's so romantic. I would kick that man in the nuts so hard they would come out his mouth. That is not an acceptable thing to do to your best friend. And I can't believe the whole world has been gaslit into thinking that movie is romantic. There's nothing romantic about it.
I agree, actually. I really agree.
Like almost every single one of these storylines is ridiculous. There's also the one, is it Colin Firth and the Portuguese waitress or something?
Yeah, his maid.
And they can't talk to each other, but they're like, we're in love. And it's like, okay, but she's just hot. That's all it, like, what? Like, why? And then the prime minister's assistant, but she's like fat and she's like totally normal size, but they're always like joking about how she's chubby. And it's just like, oh my God. I think that movie aged really poorly.
Let's cancel it. Let's cancel it right now.
Oh, it's canceled. It's canceled. I feel like more people are catching on. I also just think a lot of people watch something and don't even like register because they're like, ooh, pretty lights, nice. Ooh, nice music, Christmas. And it's like, think about these stories for like 1 second. Oh my God, The Apartment. Okay, Elliot just brought up The Apartment. Perfect movie. Billy Wilder movie. It's about a guy who basically invented Airbnb.
Yeah, true.
he gives his apartment keys to like men who want to sleep with women, and he's just like, hey, while I'm out, you can go and cheat on your wife at my apartment. And yes, I guess that is a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas.
I don't know if there's a Christmas message to it.
No, that's what I'm thinking about, like,
so this film is where everything comes together.
Right.
It is about Christmas. There is a sense of nostalgia to it because it's an old movie.
Yeah.
However, there's also the reality of men who do freaky shit.
Right.
Can't do it with their families during Christmas at home. And therefore, you know, the reality of that moment is there.
And someone's making money on the side.
And someone's... It's definitely making money on the side.
It's fun for the whole family. Yeah. There's no graphic sex scenes in it. I think we cracked the case. I think The Apartment, yes, is a Christmas movie, and yes, is the perfect Christmas movie. Maybe,
yeah.
Even though Santa's not in it.
And have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Next week, we have a little end of year roundup. And I hope you have a lovely Christmas and that the Christmas spirit may live forever in your hearts.
And in your apartment.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Check out our festive classics program here at Lab 111, including Home Alone, Die Hard, because it is a Christmas movie. And of course, The Apartment, which we have decided is the perfect Christmas movie. If you want something a little more cozy, our Girly Pop series celebrates the world of girlhood on screen, and we'll be screening another holiday classic, The Holiday. So you know it's holiday-y. Because it's the title.
Stay connected with us at Celebrating Cinema and Lab by following at Lab 111 on Instagram and Letterboxd. Do you love what we do? Support us by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. It really helps us climb the ranks of the podcast charts. This was a Lab 111 production, edited and produced by Elliot Bloom, with music from Hugo Emmertzall and artwork from Studio FFF.